The angel Gabriel was sent to a town of Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Looking at this gospel that I know I've preached on so many times, I was asking God for insight. And it occurred to me that Mary had an encounter with another world, really. The angel Gabriel came from another dimension, a kind of place that is, it exists and yet we cannot see it, though they can see us. It is a secret world, in a way, a hidden world, that only on rare occasions does God allow that world to be manifested to us who are in life now. And Mary had one of those occurrences. It was the angel Gabriel who suddenly appeared to her. I don't know what you would do if an angel appeared to you, but I would be quite terrified. I think Mary probably, you know, she wasn't expecting it. And I think that we're surrounded by angels. We are not alone. We are observed. We are we have companions. The Lord has not promised us a right to privacy. People argue about whether that's in the Constitution of the United States, but our Lord has not said, you have a right to privacy. On the contrary, he said, there is nothing hidden that will not be revealed, nothing secret that will not be made known. And I think that refers equally to the unseen spiritual world that we are headed toward. There are many secrets in this world at the present time. One of them, of course, is the spiritual realm that we hear from the scriptures. Occasionally we have indications that it's nearby in our own lives if we're watching. But it remains in a hidden place. And we have to ask ourselves why. And how are we supposed to interact with it? Like Mary, we're caught by surprise. Someone else that was caught by surprise this week was, this guy's name was Bernard Madoff, isn't it? The guy with the NASDAQ, the stock exchange gentleman that built those people out of billions of dollars. Madoff, wasn't that his name? Finally got the name right. 35 years of what would you call someone like this? A liar? A cheat? You know, it's hard to feel sorry for people that are billionaires to suddenly they're left destitute by this person and charities. And it's almost as if God said, all right, if you won't read the Bible, I'll give you a parable in real life. You know? Here's somebody they trusted, and he turned out to be a liar. He lived in a hidden world. But even in this world, God is pulling the curtain back. And the same thing's going to happen to us if we aren't repentant, if we haven't asked forgiveness, either in confession or to one another or to God. We have to realize that God is watching, and the angels are with us. They see everything. I wonder if this man would have done what he did if he knew he wasn't alone in the room for 35 years. You know, one wonders. So we look at this, and we wonder, what is the role of angels? What do they do? I always say a prayer to my guardian angel, you know, in the morning, and I don't think about it during the day, but I know that the angels, one of the things that they do is they encourage us. They make suggestions to us. They protect us until the moment of our trial comes. They will protect us only insofar as God's will permits them. They will be manifested like Gabriel only if God allows it. But when an angel manifests himself to us, then we know there's trouble coming. Okay? Whenever you see an angel in the Bible, you know that the person who's received the vision is going to have a great role, but there's also going to be a lot of trouble. And Mary's very troubled by Gabriel's coming. She says, she thinks, what can this greeting mean? But Mary was very troubled by the vision of the angel. She was perturbed. She knew there was more to the story than she was hearing. I've had several, like yourselves probably, some interesting experiences this week with snow and ice and things. I think it's more treacherous for me to walk across the parking lot than for you to drive over here. penance service was particularly bad for ice, you know. Well, on Sunday evening, I was catching a cold, which I'm now getting over, and doing everything I could so I wouldn't lose my voice again this year. And I thought on Monday, I'd better put my studded tires on the car. I've had them for many years, but have not put them on since I've been back up here in Salem-Keizer area. Used them all winter in Tillamook. And so I went down to Les Schwab, you know, on Monday around noon. I saw, you know, what I've been saying is, I've never been to hell, but looking in there was the closest thing I've ever seen to it. The look of despair on people's faces. There were several parishioners in there that were telling me that they'd been there for hours, you know. I asked the counter guy. He said, well, it will take an hour for me to even talk with you, and then about 5 hours to get waited on. And people were in there waiting because they needed those chains or whatever. And so I just went home. I had my tires were in the back of the car, but I have them on rims already. So I just got out my jack and did it myself. I thought that was pretty smart, you know. One of the rims is bent. It's out of whack. So the car shimmies at about 40 miles an hour. But you know, it I thought it was smart to keep the rims on there because it, you know, it was good for this. And so I drove it all week, and it took a while for me to jack the car up four times, and you know, and stuff. And so I was coming back from Mount Angel on Thursday, buried somebody up there, and I noticed the car starting to shimmy a little bit more than normal. I'm riding like this, the wheel's going up and down about 2 inches, you know, and I'm thinking, you know, that thing's more out of alignment than I thought, you know. So finally, around Easy Orchards, I pull over because the thing's, I'm going about 45 and it's just shaking. I thought I must have a flat tire. I didn't have a tire gauge. I lost it this week. So I pull over, being tailgated and honked at by somebody, and I looked, and here's my tire, had three of the lug nuts were within a hair of coming off on that shaky tire. The shaking had shaken the lug nuts loose because I hadn't tightened them tight enough, you know. I thought to myself, these were so hard to get off, I won't make them too tight so I can get them off again. You know, so I tell you that long story because I know that angels are often involved in saving us. Have you ever thought how many times we have been helped and we do not know it? That my time had not come, obviously, I wouldn't be here. Last year, the top part of me wasn't working. If that had happened, the rest of me would have been broken. You know, I had another experience I've shared, I think, twice already here. I've often come back to it to meditate. It was when I was crossing the street when I was 22 in San Diego. And I wasn't looking both ways. I had something on my mind. I stepped off the curb, and something pulled me back, and there was no one there, and I felt myself pulled back, and then a car went by at, I don't know, very high rate of speed, and I didn't hear it. And I've often thought, well, that was not my time, you see. But there's wisdom in being pulled back, because you know God is watching. And that's not the only way that the angels pull us back. They try to pull us back from temptation. They try to pull us back from the fire. But we have free will. Look at Mary. Look at the angel Gabriel. Imagine the beauty of the angel Gabriel, who is in attendance at the throne of God. He comes from this other reality, very real. Doesn't follow the laws of physics that we know, but has their own universe. It's the one we're going to. We're going to live forever. And this being comes out of it and is probably in the room with Mary already and, according to the will of God, manifests himself at the proper time. He explains the plan of God to Mary, a 15 or 16-year-old girl. And all of heaven, the Trinity, all the angels, and the Archangel Gabriel stand back to wait for her to say yes or no. Can you imagine? God's entire plan is resting on this girl who has the ability to say no to God. And she didn't. But she asked questions. She was troubled. She could have said no. So the angels will help us, but they rely on our free will. If we resist them, there are other angels, the bad angels, who are going to try to influence us the other way. And this is why we need to be aware of the other reality, because we're fighting an unseen war in this world. And as I said, we are eternal beings. God is not going to uncreate an intelligent being. We are only deciding where we're going to go and what our place will be when we get there. So God will not violate our faith. He will not fully reveal those who are all around us, even in this room, because we have to live in faith for these few years that we're on the earth. And so I think there's a great deal of wisdom. These last 4 days before Christmas, there are little angels everywhere. They're not just decorations for trees. They're real beings, and we're destined to be friends with them one day. It's almost beyond comprehension. But while we live, we, like Mary, are also visited in our own way with the will of God. It may not be the angel Gabriel, but they're still watching over us, our guardian angels. And so, like Mary, we too need to say yes to the will of God. It's not only Santa Claus that looks to see if we're naughty and nice, you know what I mean? There really are those who look for us. And I think that if we realize that we are always accompanied, it might make a difference in our behavior. And also it might give us reassurance that we are not alone. Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word." And with that, the angel left her.